Okay, this is a live broadcast number one for Des Rose Radio. And tonight, I kind of toss this subject around a bit. I do talk about it a little bit here and there on my shows on a regular basis. But tonight, I'm going to rant about it because it's on my mind so thick right now. It's driving me insane. And I researched and I looked at other videos on YouTube about anemia and fibroids and all these health things, life after surgery, life before surgery, and I see a bunch of different stories. And so I think, like, all day long I've been thinking about this. I think I'm losing my battle with anemia. I mean, I sat here and really thought about, you know, I've been dealing with the hardcore portion of this for 9 years. And it's just getting worse and worse and worse. And I think about all the damn doctor appointments I've been having the last 3 years. So, okay. So, since I feel like talking about this topic, and it's a big topic for a lot of women, so hopefully it will help somebody out there who's going through this. For me, my first blood transfusion was at the age of 5. I was at the doctor's with my mother, I guess, and a nurse passed by and asked, she commented on how pale I was, you know. Compared to the rest of my family, my skin is very light. It's almost white, you know. It's like I'm really pale. And she asked my mom about it. And my mom thought, oh, she's just very light, you know. And the doctor says, well, let me check on, can I take some blood work from her and check on her? And my mom said, yeah. And it turned out I needed blood transfusions. And I ended up staying in the hospital, from what I understand, for about 3 months. Then I went in again at the age of 6, I think, and I had to get more blood transfusions. And then after that, I guess I was pretty healthy. So we always thought, oh yeah, you know, she's a healthy girl. So as I got older and got toward junior high, high school, the one thing I've always had trouble with was fatigue. And I would get so tired. You know, if I try to achieve something like a major exercise program, which I did, I think, when I was about 23, I got really into working out. I got really into lifting and my body image and everything. And I was doing really well. But the weird part about it was every time I did it, I always felt empty. No matter what I ate, you know, I got pretty fit because it was after the birth of my firstborn child. So I lost like about 50 pounds or something, and I got pretty fit. And it was still, you know, still fatigue and all this stuff. Then as time went on, I started getting depressed. And of course you get, you know, all these different symptoms and life situations happen. And so they ended up diagnosing me with depression and anxiety, which I know I have anxiety, I know that. But the depression part was the weird part, because of course if you go through certain life situations, you will get depressed. You know, for some of the stuff I experienced, yeah, hell yeah, I was depressed. I had a lot of messed up things happen in my life, you know. As time went on, let's kind of forward a little bit to about 3 years ago. Then I ended up in the hospital, and it just came out of nowhere. All I remember is like feeling dizzy and nauseous, and I didn't realize I wasn't breathing. I went to school because I was still finishing up my degree. I went to school and I kept having to sit down, and I was like, are you okay? I'm like, yeah, I think so. And I even breathed in really deep several times to test to see if I was okay. And I went home and I started tripping out. Like I started hallucinating. And I realized I was hallucinating. And I asked my son to take me to urgent care. So he drove me to urgent care. By the time we got to urgent care, I went to sit down, and then all next thing I know, I went to lay down on the floor, and then I look up and there's an ambulance and everything, and they took me into the hospital, and I ended up staying there for a month, where they thought, well, I had pneumonia, but what it was the anemia. The anemia brought on the pneumonia kind of thing, and I wasn't breathing, and I was like, what? I had like less than 10% lung capacity. So I was dying, you know, and they couldn't figure it out. And because I didn't realize I had anemia, they were just focusing on the pneumonia. And finally, I just told them, I said, well, I'm on my cycle. And I kept telling them, I don't know why I kept telling them that, but I was like, I'm on my cycle. And they were like, okay, you know, they thought I was hallucinating because there's no blood. I wasn't bleeding or anything, but I knew I was on my cycle. And, okay, well, to make a long story short, by the time I got out, I realized they told me I had anemia and all this stuff. And I look back at some of the traumatic pregnancies I've had and now realize, you know, the cause of those things was my anemia. But I just didn't know that I had it. And the symptoms of anemia are similar to the symptoms of depression. So what they were treating me for was depression when, in fact, I had anemia. But, you know, I think it's a blessing in disguise because I really went out of my way to learn a lot about depression and bipolar disorder and all those things during those times, because I was trying, I believe in owning your illness. You know, if you're told that you have an illness, own up to it and learn everything you can about it so that you are in control, you know. So you're just not sitting in the dark waiting for answers from doctors. And so I did the same with the anemia, and we went through the whole thing. Anemia can be for men or women, but majority are women. And it could be your intestines, stomach. It could come from your stomach or intestines, which could be like ulcers, things like that. Or it could be from female reproductive organs, you know, during your cycle. And so I had them do all kinds of tests. You know, I've had shows here and there where I talk about it. I had to do all these tests. They went through the stomach both ways. They did everything trying to find it. And for me, it just came down to a combination, because I've had it since I was young. So it's just my blood, I guess, the way it is. And it makes, you know, it makes sense now. But the paleness, it's still there. Like, sometimes I'll get out of the shower and wipe my face, and I swear I look jaundiced. You know, like, oh my God, I'm so white. But I can't go into the sun, because if I go into the sun, I get more freckles on my face, like, really fast. So it's like I avoid the sun the best I can, because I bruise easy and things like that. Okay, so now for my other rant. For those who listen to my show here and there, they kind of follow up with my health. And I've just been going back and forth with these doctors. And I realized today that a lot of it has to do with my insurance, because here's the thing. I have one option. Okay, one major option, and that is to get surgery. And if I have the surgery, it's gone. The anemia is gone. Everything attached to it is gone. But the way they say it now is it's unnecessary, which I understand. They say majority of the time it's an unnecessary surgery. The only time you should have that type of surgery is if you have a uterine cancer or cancer in your ovaries or something. And I understand that. But as I research and I look through YouTube, there are people getting the surgery left and right for smaller things. You know what I mean? For it, some of them they're just at the beginning stages and they're having these surgeries with no problem. But the doctors are giving me a hard time. And here's the thing, they're telling me, well, if you just wait it out, okay, you're at the age, wait it out. They can't promise me a number, but they say like 3 or 4 years, wait it out. And when you start going through the change, then it'll all change. And I'm trying to tell the doctors, look, it's not going to happen for me, okay? It hasn't happened for any of the women in my family. All of them have, every single woman in my family has never, none of them have ever been through menopause or anything naturally. They've all had problems similar to mine, except mine's more extreme, you know. It hasn't even, theirs is mostly like fibroids and things like that. Mine's kind of that too, but it's even more extreme. And she doesn't understand. And I did the research last night. I was researching it, and I was talking about different race and different backgrounds, you know, how that stage of life for women, menopause is different based on your ethnic background. And I believe that. And I know part of it's because of food and just your body make. And that change could be all the way up to 60 years old. And I was trying to tell her, that will be me. You don't understand. I don't have 4 or 5 years. You're asking another 10, 12 years. And I'll probably die by then from anemia alone, you know. So, going back and forth. So this last time, I tried the last option available. Every single thing that they try to do, they say, here, use birth control pills. Oh, here's IUD. Oh, here's this. And we do this procedure and that procedure. And I went and did everything. And it didn't matter. So this last thing was a shot, okay? And this shot, what this shot is supposed to do is this shot's supposed to make you go into menopause, like artificial menopause, like force a menopause. It didn't do shit, okay? It didn't do nothing. I'm on my third round of this shot. And it's like, okay, this is getting worse and worse. So I called yesterday. And I was like, okay, and I just called and I just said, you know what, I'm tired. I'm so tired. My fatigue is so bad and I feel like I'm losing. I feel like I have cancer. You know, I go, I can't do nothing. And so the doctor's like, okay, but your doctor's on vacation to June 29th or something like that. And I was like, what? So I asked, okay, so can she book a surgery right away? Like, am I going to make it till June 29th? Like, the way I feel right now, I don't feel like I'm going to make it to June 29th. I mean, I don't want the surgery. I really don't. Of course, I don't want, it scares me to death. You know, it's a major surgery. It's life-changing, and the aftermath could be bad. But way outweighing it, it's like I'd rather try than keep going on this way because I can't teach, I can't work, I can't do anything, right? So, and I looked at more videos, you know, videos and blogs of people talking, and I noticed that the people who had similar to mine, there's two outcomes. There are some people who are suffering now, like, because they have hormone replacements and all this stuff after the surgery, and they seem to be suffering now even a little bit more than they were before the surgery. The women who had stuff similar to mine, they were just like, they don't even know why they waited that long. And I think that's where I'm at. I'm at that point. I'm just like, that's going to be me. Like, why the hell did I wait this long? You know, because, I mean, of course, you don't want to go under the knife. And what really made me think of this a lot the last couple of days is I remember this verse in the Bible. There was a woman who touched Jesus' gown and was healed, right? And it dawned on me. I mean, I don't know what brought this on, but she had a bleeding problem for like 12 years before she touched him. And she sought out everything she could to get healed. And I was like, oh my gosh, she had anemia. You know, she had anemia and she had female problems and stuff like that. And that's what that was. So women must have been going through this for centuries. I mean, when I see how many blogs there are, and there are some women who are young, I'm talking young women, like late 20s and early 30s already going through this. And I guess it's a blessing in disguise that I didn't, but I did have one child at a late age, so maybe that's why it kind of set it back a bit for me, because I did have a pregnancy. But I don't know. That could be it. And I look up the causes. You know, sometimes they say if you had traumatic pregnancies, if you had miscarriages, if you had stillborns, this happens. But I've also seen some videos and stuff of girls who've never had children ever having this problem. So it was, I don't know. I've been doing a lot of thinking about this because it's blowing my mind just how much it's occupying my damn life. You know, it's like, and I've been trucking on, you know, I've been doing the blackstrap molasses, which is like the best thing, one of the best things you can do for iron, because it's packed with it. For me, 4 tablespoons. Should be enough, but that stuff is so gross. It's so gross. I mean, you could put it in a smoothie and a shake. They have those too. You could juice up all these vegetables, but it becomes expensive. You know, there's a natural way to go about it, and I've tried it all. I've done everything. I've exercised. I focus on my abdomen, whatever, and I focus. I drink tons of water. I eat vegetables for breakfast, lunch, and dinner. I eat meat when I can. And when I do say meat, I mean steak. And that's probably the only thing. Steak is the only thing where I feel good. Like, I can eat a huge steak, and I feel so good. Like, for the whole day. But the problem was, is when I was doing that every other day, of course, the calories and the weight gain. So, and it's not good for you. You know, if all you're having is meat, it's the same concept. Everything has to be in moderation. But if all I'm doing is eating meat, that's going to have a backlash. You know, that's going to clog up my arteries and all this stuff. I don't know. So, it's been a struggle. And so in one way I think of it as a blessing. I've learned a lot by my own researching, learning, teaching myself, but I've come to the point the last couple days where I'm just like, I'm done. And I put in there some about people. And with the people I'm talking about are people who are closer to me. I'm talking about people who really know me, you know, and are kind of wondering why I haven't really been around, you know. And there's only one or two friends that have been very understanding and very patient and totally listen to everything I say. I mean, just for a listening ear, and I was kind of shocked at the person that's actually really been there for me. But the other people, I'm just getting pissed off, you know. Like some of my friends, they're just like, well, like, okay, it's Memorial Day weekend. Oh, well, how come you're not barbecuing? Oh, do this, do that. Oh, what are you doing? And it's like, bitch, okay, I told you, I'm fucking sick, all right? I'm sick. I'm not doing all this shit right now. I mean, I'll sit there and I'll talk. I'll visit and stuff like that, but it's like, and I know they're just going on with their lives, but it's like, don't fucking start getting pissed off at me. You know, what part are you not understanding? It's like, they see me and I look fine at the moment, you know, because I'm standing up or I'm walking around or whatever. I look fine at the moment, but I don't have the energy. They're just not grasping it. And they're just like, well, I don't understand why you got to be so tired. You just took a nap. And I'm just like, I'm tired of explaining it. I shouldn't have to explain it. Just, okay, I'm not going. Okay, I'm not going. I already got, you know, it's already a struggle enough to go to all the things I have to go to. But I'm not partying it up. I'm not staying up to party. I'm going to bed, you know. It's just, I do feel a lot better. I do. Okay, I might delete this later. But I'm just like so frustrated. I'm just, why are you bothering me? You know, why are you bothering me? That's how I feel, like telling these people, why are you bugging me? Why? I don't know if it's subconsciously just, you know, just trying to piss me off. Or they want to believe it. Like I told some family members, they called and there's a big festival this weekend that I love to go to. And I didn't go because I couldn't drive all the way to Long Beach and all this. And I really wanted to go. But, just bring your iron and bring all this and you could do it. You could do it. And it's like, no, you know what? Why don't you do it? Okay? You walk around like that. I'm just mad. And my doctor's on vacation. It is. It's frustrating. But I know there's a lot of women who go through this. And some of them go through it in silence. And some of them just voice it out and tell the whole world, you know, because it's... And it is helpful. Like for me, when I look back at all the videos and blogs I read, I'm kind of glad that there were people who opened up about it and talked about it, because I didn't realize so many people had similar problems. What kind of amazes me is that a lot of these people are really young. You know, I thought this was more of an older, you know, when you get older after you had kids and some time has gone by, but there are some very young ones, and it must be our food, you know, our diets and stuff that make it, I don't know, maybe almost epidemic in my view, because if you look and research the other countries, some women have something similar, but it's treated a little bit differently, you know. They have ways to combat it. But for here in America, it just seems like it's out of control. And that's the one thing, too, and I researched it. It was all about hormones. And when you think about it, our meats have hormones. Our vegetables have pesticides. They could have hormones in them, too. The containers, plastic, from what I understand, like the jugs that your milk is in, the plastic has hormones in it too. I mean, I have found out all this stuff and it's like, oh my God, it's like, don't even breathe. You know, you can't even breathe. But I think it just affects women differently. And what frustrates me also is the doctors, the technology, I know that there's something they can do. They can come up with something that, let's say you have fibroids and cysts. I know that they can come up with something where they can just give the fibroid a shot and shrink the hell out of it. You know? Or take out a cyst with a little laser. We have the technology. But you know why I don't think they do that? Because we're not men. If it was a man's problem, they would have came up with a solution a long time ago. But because we're women... And now, okay, going back to the doctor's rant. I had a male doctor. And this male doctor, he's the one who kept saying, "Ah, it's not necessary." And I'm just staring at him like, how you figure? Because he's not having those problems, you know, it's okay with him. Oh, you know, 2, 3 years is better because if I give you a surgery, you're going to have cancer. And I was like, what? He goes, well, you could have cancer and you can do this. Just wait, just wait. But now, then I found this female one and she goes, I vouch for surgery, you know, especially if you want to start working. I mean, if you're going to teach, you can't, you know, be standing there and passing out and stuff. And I was like, yeah. But she went on vacation. So now I'm stuck for 5 or 6 weeks with this. And I'm trying to push it because if I could just push it now and be healed by September, then I know, you know, at least this is one worry off my plate and I can just go on with my life, you know, be just go on with it. This is frustrating. Okay, so I guess I don't have a whole lot of nothing else to say. That was just my rant. I don't know. Like I said, I'm kind of feeling sorry for myself, but I'm sick of doctors, but I'm sick of people, and I'm just kind of fed up with the whole thing, and I needed to talk about it. I don't know if there was any solution. I don't think so. But it's a hard thing to live with. And eventually, you know, there are women that are going to be having this issue. And I think that kind of nip it early, you know, because I start to wonder if all these birth controls that they try to give you and stuff make this stuff worse. And I wonder if it contributes to it. Because it's got to be bad for you. The hormones, playing with your hormones, and you figure if people get on birth control at around what, 16 years old and up, women, and by the time you're in your 20s and 30s, I think it could really mess up your reproductive organs and cause your hormones to go haywire, you know, and then you toss in pregnancies and childbearing and all these things, and that's what I'm saying. I think it's like kind of like an epidemic kind of thing because, like, when I was reading that story, you know, from the Bible, there were women who actually were already suffering from that, and I guess I should be thankful. I live in a time and an age where they can fix it, but like that woman in the Bible was like 10 or 12 years. I'm like, oh my God. That's crazy. But then I started thinking about it. I've been like this for 8 years. So it's kind of like, oh, you know? And what I thought was really strange about the Bible verse was she was thought of as being unclean. And it's like, oh, yeah, that's right. Because back in those days, a woman that had her cycle was considered unclean, you know? Or a woman that had female issues going on was considered unclean, and she was gating this because of a sin she did or something crazy. You know, they came up, of course, it's probably a bunch of guys that came up with this, but they were like, she came up with, you know, she did something to deserve this, not bearing their children, you know, it's nothing normal like that. All right, so I guess that's it. That's it for Desiree's radio broadcast. I'll still be on here on the Hangouts. Okay, well, thanks for listening to the rant. Until next time.